the wind.
One more time.
I'm amazed that you love me. Lord, I'm amazed how you came. And through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They are all washed away. Sins are washed away.
Let's just give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. He's worthy of praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So amazing how God just is always watching over us. Amen. I just don't have any prayer requests or testimonies, but I do have one testimony from our house. Amen. Yesterday, went to go do stuff in the morning and found out we had no water in our house, and kind of discouraged, not discouraged, bad, just like, I don't really want to get into their crawl space, you know, Brother Simon knows the feeling for that. But I get under there to go crawl under there, and I look under there, and if anybody wants to see the picture, I'll show you the picture, but the wires to the heat tape that we go around there was completely burnt through. Like, it could have started a fire very easily, but by God's grace, it never started a fire or anything like that. We got new heat tape, and we had water back, but just thank God for protecting our house. Amen. Just want to give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Always watches over his children. Amen. Amen. Also, just a reminder, we do have communion today at 3:30 for all those who will be attending that. And also, we have a little flyer we'll put up here for the Albion services next week. It doesn't have an address here, but if anybody needs directions, we can direct them that way. So, just going to ask Brother Simon, if you come, lead us in a word of prayer, also for tithes and the offerings. If anybody would have a need of anything from the Lord today, just raise your hand up to him. Amen.
Our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for protecting our brother, Lord, and his wife there yesterday, Lord Jesus, Lord, and how powerful you are, God, Lord. For you preserve your very elect, God, Lord, and Lord, they're invincible, Lord, until it's their time, God, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for preserving each one, Lord, today, God, Lord, coming back to your house, Lord, to hear the word of God, Lord.
Yes,
we want to feed on your word, Lord God, Lord, like as lambs, God, Lord.
Yes,
and just graze here, God. And Lord, just like our prophet said, Lord, how the fish, Lord, when they eat, Lord, they float down, Lord. The rest are little swimmers, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want to eat as much as we can today,
yes,
God. Digest it, God, Lord. Just think the rest of the week, baby, to enter into rest, God, knowing, Lord, your promises are sure,
yes,
God, Lord, that your promises will come to pass, God, that you have good things for us in store, Lord God. And Jesus, we love you so much, Lord, and just bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Bless the service, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just may we just worship you more, God, Lord, and give more of our hearts to you,
yes,
God, Lord.
Bob.
Not so much a loud voice or a shout, but Lord, just a deep, sincere, Lord, heart-given worship, Lord Jesus. We just love you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Just sing a little song. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Amen to that, amen.
Now say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.
Amen. Aren't you glad the devil can't do you no harm today, amen? He's just a bluff, amen? Just sing that little song, amen. I command my hands to praise the Lord. We haven't sang that in a long time. No matter what, your body may feel tired, your spirit may be tired, but we have to command it in the name of the Lord by the word of God. I command my hands to praise the Lord. 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 Hands, you got 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 to praise the Lord. I command my body 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 to praise the Lord. Body, you got 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 to praise the Lord. I command my feet 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 to praise the Lord. My feet, you got to praise the Lord. 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 I command my mouth 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 to praise the Lord. My mouth, you got to praise the Lord. My mouth, you got to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My mouth, you got to praise the Lord. My mouth, you got to praise the Lord. I command my mind 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 to praise the Lord. Oh, mind, you got to praise the Lord. 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 Amen. Amen. Just sing that song, the love of Jesus is so wonderful, so high you can't get over it. Amen.
The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful.
many glad you can't go over it, can't go under it, and you can't get around it, amen. Just sing a little song, Fill My Way With Love, as we walk with that heavenly dove, amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the ways Thou hast gone.
Just for a moment here by God's grace. Amen. Appreciate everyone able to make it out to the house of God this morning. And you happy to be in the fellowship with the King of Kings?
Amen.
Amen. We know that where God is, He abides where His word is. Amen.
Amen.
So by the grace of God, we are a very fortunate and a blessed people this morning. And of course, you've probably seen Him walk through. Brother Ben is going to be speaking this morning. He had it on the calendar back there. And how many are looking forward to the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen, sure are. And by the grace of the Lord here, it sure is good to see all the smiling, happy faces this morning. And should the Lord be pleased, we got two services with communion today, so we want to just enjoy the fellowship with one another around the Word of God. And I even had a call last week from a brother, and they had just had Brother Ben in, and he was just raving over what the Lord had done there. So we just want to be at a place to say, Lord, just allow that gift to work and operate here, Lord, in our midst, and Lord, let that word produce what we need. Amen.
Amen.
So we just want to have that mindset and maybe that focus, and should the Lord be pleased today, we'll definitely see the fruit of the word itself. Amen. So anyway, I could sing a song here, but maybe we'll sing just a little bit. Sing a little bit more of a faster song. I feel like I need to get my gears going today a little bit. Brother Dave had me jumping, and I could hardly jump. So maybe, should the Lord allow us here, we'll sing a song. And if Brother Ben's ready to come out, we'll have him out. He is certainly an instant in-season and out-of-season preacher. He can walk in. It doesn't matter what time he walks in. He's just got such a blessed gift, and we certainly love his spirit. And we're happy to have him here. He's already looking at the baptismal. He really just thought the world of that baptismal that we've worked on back there. And by God's grace, we know that there's more that are going to get in there. Amen. So we just want to be praying for that and be believing that the Lord will finish his work here and on the point. Amen. So maybe we'll just sing a song. Let's see. Let's sing that song if we can. Let's sing that song soon and very soon. I feel like I'm missing something, and I'm kind of stalling because sometimes it comes back, but it's not coming back. So that's okay. But we'll announce that second service if Lord allow. But yet maybe we'll sing this song, and if Brother Ben's ready to come out, we'll have him out. And if not, we'll just keep on singing and enjoy the worship of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
How many love to worship Jesus Christ?
Amen.
If he's your God, that means he's your object of worship. So, by the scripture, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. We have a lot to be joyful for this morning. Amen.
Well, now soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going. We are
there's not really much to all that. Said, you know, you're going to Europe. Well, after all we've seen happening in France and the terrorist attacks and all that, you can see you do need to pray. Because I could get right in the middle of some of those kind of things, right in the middle of meetings. And if God don't help me, I could be right in the middle of something like that. So be sure to pray for me, will you please? Amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from my wife as well. And we're trying to get through her portion of school, so she couldn't be here with me. I'm sure most of you understand. And we'd like to see her travel all the time. But the bigger my kids get, the harder it is to pack the whole family and bring everybody. So, but we're glad we got them to pack when we get them a chance to pack, you know. But amen. So by the help of the Lord, I want to speak to you this morning on the approach to war. And I want to use for a subject this morning, 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. Now, back in the return ministry move, we used to call this 2020 vision. And the reason we called it that is because this part where it says, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. I always found it amazing after the Lord really began to show me their errors, how that they always talked about believe the prophets, but they never got the believe in the Lord your part. They always miss that part somehow. But without the Lord, there would be no prophets. Amen. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he consulted with the people, he appointed the greatest preachers in the message that he could find. Some of y'all done caught, I read that wrong, didn't I? What did he appoint? Singers? Singers. So God's getting ready to establish the temple in every way that needs to be established. And instead of calling the greatest preachers in the land, he calls the singers. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? He appointed singers unto the Lord, because that's real singing. Anybody can learn a chord, but when it's unto the Lord, it's in a different thing altogether. And that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. I remember the army of God took the ark of God, the preachers took the ark and set it on their left shoulder, right above their heart. And they took that ark and they packed it as they went. Now that's the word of the Lord. That's what God's word, that's God's centerpiece for his spirit. And he sends the singers before he sends the ark. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you're listening good because we're about to dig in deep today. They went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I'm sorry, but isn't this just miscellaneous stuff? Isn't this extra, the singing, this music part? Why don't we just cut that away? Let's just get to the word part. This is the approach to war. And when they begin to sing and to praise, watch this very carefully. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. So God said, y'all having such a good time, I'll just go ahead and take care of the battle for you. Don't worry about the rest of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this in the paradox. Brother Bram said, you know, there is something about song that's got power in it. We know that. We are aware of that. He said, look at the army when they would sing songs and play music. Do you know that the approach to war in the army of God is first by music? But Brother Ben, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It absolutely matters. The singers went before the ark, rejoicing and singing. Then come the ark, then come the battle. Okay, so let me see if I understand this. Singers, ark, then the battle. Singers, ark, and then the battle. So the singers came before the word. Well, what's the point of that? Well, just skip the song service. Let's get to the word part. This is the word. Huh? Yeah. If you skip the singing part, you have skipped the word to get to the word. Amen. Lord, y'all as quiet as a Methodist this morning. Now, I'm reading to you the Bible. I'm reading to you the message. Now, it's up to you whether you want to say amen to it or not. All right, come on now. He said they went rejoicing. They went singing. Then come the ark. Then come the battle. He said that's the right approach. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, As I come to you today, Father, I'm just so grateful, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, as I stand here before your children this morning, I stand here completely helpless. I have no ability whatsoever, Lord, to take this great eternal book of God and break it to the hearts of your children. Lord, just as a human, Lord, it baffles my mind to think, how could I even begin to take such thoughts, put them together? I realize, Lord, that I'm very needy of you today, that you would use me, that I be an instrument to preach to your people only that which you would want to say to their hearts. And Lord, as I offer myself as a tabernacle of humiliation, preaching through the foolishness of preaching, I pray that you would use my mouth today to speak to the children what needs to be said. Lord God, would you open their ears and their eyes and their hearts today, that the Holy Spirit would take these words that are going to be spoken to them, and that they would take them into their heart, their soul, their mind, their body, their spirit. May every part of them be receptive today, that, Lord, they could benefit from the things that we're going to talk about. I pray that you would break every yoke, bind every spirit, and that you would give us perfect freedom in every way. Sanctify our hearts, our eyes, our lips, our minds, and so forth for your service today. As we love you, we thank you, we commit the needs of your children to your hands. All of them that may have a need today, we commit the word to your hands, both speaker and listener. We commit ourselves to you today, Father. And as I heard brother say, brother pastor a moment ago, Lord, prepare our hearts as we go through the day for the great communion service tonight, Lord, which your prophet said is a showdown. Lord God, we want our hearts to be clean and ready by your grace, if it be thy will. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we commit this service to your hands now and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Looking forward to that communion too, by the way. That'd be the second time I've got to, no, third time I've got to break bread with you folks down here. Did you say communion tonight? Praise God. I'm excited about that. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord for that. I want you to settle in a little bit and listen to a couple things. And I'm hoping by the help of the Lord that you'll be able to understand why that music and singing and things are of such a benefit to the people of God. Now, what I'm going to read to you just for a little bit is some of the medical perspectives of this about music and what it does to the human mind. Now, remember, these are men and women that are basically they put together the thoughts and so forth without any religious thinking or without any religious training. They're just basically taking facts and things and putting it together. And hopefully by the help of the Lord, I hope you'll see kind of the benefits of some of this in the music. Now first I want you to understand the word music comes from the root word, which is muse. It is believed that the ancient Greeks believed that the spirit beings were the inspiration for art, including music. In Shun, China, the emperor monitored the health of the people based upon music that was wrote and listened to in some of the different villages. Music itself is also something they find that with rock and roll music, when they're trying to guide rats through a maze, that when they play rock music, it confuses their mind and they can't find their way through the maze, but real gentle music helps them find their way. We find that a student, a 7th to a 12th grader, according to these doctors and these different statisticians and different men of renown, they said that they will watch and listen to 11,000 hours of rock music and rock videos, which is more than twice the time that they will spend in the classroom from the grade 7 to 12, to the senior year. And then we look at the different aspects of how it affects the mind. Now, first of all, they tell us that there are different parts of our brain that are positioned to receive different things. For example, when you're looking at art, Brother Bam said God is in some types of art, and you're looking at art, there are certain parts of your brain that lights up to look at that art, to be able to see the colors and the pictures and put together the frames and the lines and the different parts of it. And so we realize that your mind then is also geared to be able to be receptive to music. blessing. Now, here's the interesting thing, as I'm looking here at an article, that a man brought in maybe 15 years ago, 17 years ago, something like that, that the mind, actually, when it begins to reason things, it reasons on the right side of the brain. So it begins to put things together, 2 + 2 = 4, and these different categories that we would use of reasoning, and it would start with the right side of the brain. But now music skips the right side altogether, and it goes to the left side of the brain, and it drops right down into a faculty in your human mind that bypasses cognitive reasoning altogether. So when people say, oh, I don't listen to the words, I just listen at the rhythms and things like that, or I don't listen at the rhythms, I just listen to the words, either side of it, they're telling a lie, because the left side of their brain absorbs every bit of it without any reasoning whatsoever. So that means that you listen to music, and it must take the Holy Ghost then to be a filter for what it is that you're listening to. Have you ever noticed when you're in a restaurant, now you've got the Holy Ghost, you're saved, you're born again, you have no intention of falling down into the traps of rock and roll music or pop music or something like that, but have you ever noticed when you're sitting in a restaurant, you'll hear a tune come over the radio, and they'll be playing it above, and next thing you know, you're doing this with your hand, and you're doing this like that, and you think, oh, good Lord, what in the world am I doing? What happened was, it passed beyond the right side. You did not reason or think about what you were doing, and it dropped into this left side, and your body was responding to those rhythms and those beats and those words and such as that. Now, that doesn't mean you're a sinner on your way to hell or that you need to get delivered of a rock and roll devil, but it is a natural response that is built into the human being, that when that response hears that music, that response automatically flows out. Now, we realize that God uses this type of method to get messages into our subconscious that normally the word cannot do. Now, I love this part about church, because the reason that God established a song service and musicians and so forth is because God knows sometimes you just simply need to give your brain a break. Now, for the intellectual minded people that are in here that have to figure everything out and have to reason everything out, and 2 + 2 = 4 in their mind, and they never can see, you know, any other aspect of nothing, and if you preach a sermon this way, they've got it all pulled to pieces and tore apart in every which way, and they're still trying to figure out what you meant by that one word that you said in the 5,000 words you preach. At one word, they're still trying to figure it out. So what God does is God takes your type of mind, and He gives you a 30-minute song service so you can't figure nothing out. Now, where you lose your blessing is when you are sitting there in the song service trying to figure out why everybody's doing everything. Well, I wonder what He meant by that certain song. There's no one be no devil there. Well, now how's there going to be no devil there? You see, you've already messed up the whole process of having a song service by letting the music become an intellectual thing instead of letting it become a worship to Almighty God. Praise the Lord, somebody. It's exactly right. Now, watch. Notice Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. They sing a new song. They sing a new song. Now, if you look there in 9, 10, 11, and 12, going down through verse 14, and you'll notice the type of song that these people were singing. They were singing, "Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals." They were preaching redemption in their song. They were preaching every nation, every kindred, a Gentile move would be taken unto God. They were preaching we would be kings and priests, that we would reign on the earth. So to reign on the earth, we'd have to have a title deed. To have a title deed, we'd have to be in God's mind. So they were preaching predestination. Their song was a message of God's revelation, and they were singing it in a heavenly realm. Now let me say this to you. If we do not match that type of heavenly singing, and we sing a different song here, as I told our people the other night when I was preaching over the weekend, that we would never fit into that heavenly choir if they're singing about redemption over there and we're singing about Trinitarianism over here. If they're singing about one God over there, we won't be singing about three of them over here. Our song must reflect what's being said over there. Notice they did not lose their song. Once they crossed out of this time dimension and entered into an eternal dimension, they absolutely, oh my, they were still singing the same song. Hallelujah. They were singing the same song of redemption that they sang right here on the earth. I want you to know that God's song in your heart will never die. Even if you die, that song will never die. And the best songs can't die. The best songs go on and on and on and on and on. Now, we talk about the dangers of rock music. Now, that's true. Rock and roll can be a very deadly, deadly thing, because it just shoves devil right in your face. But one thing that is a little bit more deadly is some of the easy listening music. Why it is more deadly? Because it is more sneaky. It is more deceptive. Whereas with rock music, they are shoving the devil in your face. When you are listening at Whitney Houston and Celine Dion and all these other type of characters like that, you are hearing a song that emphasizes nothing about God whatsoever. It does not ever talk about the blood. They do not ever talk about Jesus. They do not ever mention eternal love or eternal grace. The fact is, it's more deadly because they ignore it altogether. But glory to God, I listen at love songs. I do too. Amazing grace. Just depends on what kind of love you're talking about. Come on, somebody. Depends on what love you're talking about. I'm talking about God's love and amazing grace. Now, notice that the physical response that comes with this. This is just amazing to me how that these doctors talk about the effects in your brain. One doctor said it like this, said that when your mind hears certain beats and certain rhythms, it absolutely opens up a cognitive thought in your brain. In other words, when the melody is just right, easy going and soft and quiet, then you can have the ability to actually meditate deeper and think deeper with that easy music in the back than you can if it's loud. Then they turned it around and showed that when it's loud, sometimes you can't think at all. Thank God there are some people that still believe in loud music. Because sometimes we don't need to think about it. We just need to enter in and say, glory to God, it's right. I always marvel when I watch for somebody singing, victory is mine. You can see the wheels turning. Now, how is it mine? How is it mine? And what part is mine? What's he talking about mine? Victory, victory. You've ruined your blessing already. If you'll just turn off the intellectual brain and let the music do the job that it was supposed to do, and that's give your brain a break, then you can enjoy the thing that God gave to you. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, but you say, we have to really consider a lot of this stuff. We will. If you got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about it. The Lord will tell you when it's wrong. Now, watch this. This is in September of 2013. Science is not able to clearly define music. Whatever it is, music has a unique effect on the brain. It's learning, it's memory, it's emotion and spirituality. It uses the brain in wide circuits to bring about strong neuroplasticity. Now, if you don't know what that word means, it simply means it lights up your whole brain. That is the effect to ability to learn and other subjects as well. Playing and listening and creating music involves the most cognitive skills. Now watch this. It has such strong effects that it can drive soldiers to war. It can drive dancers into ecstasy and listeners into deep meditation. Music effect are as powerful as drugs. Now you can understand why some people are hooked on some of this worldly music. They are literally addicted to some of this kind of music. No wonder Paul said these men have addicted themselves to God's grace and God's mercy and the prayer and the preaching and the gathering of saints. He said they have addicted themselves to the word of the Lord. Well, it makes sense because if you can addict that way, you can be addicted to Jesus the very same way. I want you to know I am a Holy Ghost junkie when it comes to the Word of God. I cannot wait to get to church and get another fix. Praise the Lord. And if I don't get my fix, then I can't hardly wait to get back to church. I will claw and scratch and fight to get back to that presence of God like that. Praise the Lord. Oh my, thank you, Lord Jesus. This right here is a little weak. Could you bring this up for me right here? I can't hardly hear nothing behind me. Now, watch this now. He said in certain cases, the nucleus accumbens, whatever that means, a brain center that is related to reward and addiction. They are uniquely stimulated when people enjoy new music. So their brain releases toxins when they hear new music. That is the toxins for addiction and the toxins for reward. Now, this goes to prove to you already what I'm trying to show you, that the music has an absolute effect on everything that you are. Exactly right. Now watch this. I love this. It says sound is unique. Everything in nature vibrates and produces sounds. Even a black hole is 57 octaves below middle C. So he's going, you know what he's singing? I'm a black hole. But he's singing out, ringing out the praise of Almighty God. You say, Brother Ben, there is no way in the world that nature absolutely praises God. Well, you should have said as far as you know. Let me read to you now from the book of Psalms. 148, 1 through 3, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. From the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye angels. Praise Him, all ye hosts. Praise Him, sun. Praise Him, moon. Praise Him, stars of light. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So everything is ringing out the praise of God. The stars, if you could hear them, they are echoing out God's praise and God's message. I've read this to you many times before, but then the song of the stars, Professor Don Kurtz from the University of Central Lancashire said that the stars sing. They ring like giant musical instruments as sound waves cause them to vibrate, getting hotter and cooler, brighter and dimmer, bigger and smaller. And since we cannot hear the stars, they take an instrument and put it on that vibration, and they can hear them emitting a certain measurement of sound, a certain frequency of sound. And what are they singing? My God, how great thou art. Oh, He is my Redeemer. You say nature does not recognize its creator. Yes, it does. The prophet of God said when Jesus died at Calvary, He said that the earth had a nervous breakdown. He said that the sun hid its eyes because the creator, its creator, was dying on Calvary. Well, if that creation can recognize its creator, what about this creation? If that creation, hallelujah, if that creation can sing, what about this creation? Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Singing gives courage. Leadership Prescott, Arizona, 1965. You know that, don't you? The soldiers, when they're going to battle, you know what they do? They play music and sing. And that gives them courage. Amen. Now they tell us that when some of the soldiers went into war, that there was a certain amount of training and things that goes into getting the mind ready. But they never found as great of an effective as a tool as music was. So a certain regime of tankers, tank battalion that would get together and they would go out and they had certain battles they had to fight in Afghanistan and different places like that. They would put on this music, rock and roll music, and one of the songs they would play to themselves was Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. Now, when they would listen at this certain type of song, this one particular song, the men that was in that tank actually testified, and this is their words, that it was like we became anointed to kill. Why? It was giving them courage to do the thing that they did. You remember several years ago when the boys of the Columbine shooting, people wondered what was it made them boys do that. Some blame video games, some blame their parents, some blame this, some blame that. Recently, I just found a study that they'd done, and there was one of the young men standing there doing an interview article for the newspaper, school newspaper, whatever it was, and he had a certain t-shirt on of a certain German death metal band. And they begin to investigate what this boy had on his chest. And they found that one of the most popular songs that this group sang was a song in their German language, of course. And they were singing, go to the schoolyard, get the gun, and kill the bully. And this was some of these boys' favorite music. They listened to it over and over and over and over again. Now you wonder why a girl that would have all kinds of virtue and have morality about her, and all of a sudden she turns into a prostitute. And you think, where does she get the courage? Where does she get the strength to go out there and flaunt herself before man and jump in the back seat, excuse me, sister, with some old strange boy every Friday night? Where does she get the courage? Look at the music that they are listening to. It is giving them the courage to do what it is that they're doing. Why does a man get the courage to leave his wife? It would scare me to death to think that I would leave Samantha K permanently. You understand what I'm talking about? It would scare me at the thought that I would take a gun and kill somebody. Sometimes you know how it is, them old thoughts go through your mind. The devil will talk to you. What if you become one of those guys? The fear, Brother Dave, the fear that grips my heart at the thought that I could be like one of those people. All humanity is the same. Initially, there is a sensitivity and a tenderness down inside of all human beings. So tell me, where did they get the courage to take a gun and end somebody's life? You say the devil. That's right, but go a little bit deeper. How'd the devil get in there? Just recently when I was in Africa in Ghana, I was in a certain part of the convention. One of the brothers that had spoke there, he said, here in Ghana, he said, we'll never tolerate homosexuality. He said, Ghanans will never have homosexuality. And I listened at him and I thought, my brother, that's quite a statement. Well, that afternoon or the next day, actually, I was sitting in one of the little restaurants they put you in. Restaurant by name, of course. And as you're sitting there, you're getting ready to eat your meal, you know, and you're sitting there just relaxing, and it was Christmas time. It was actually Christmas Eve. And they had some music playing overhead. And one of the ladies, of course, I was sitting there enjoying. I had the fan over top of my head. They had one of them ceiling fans. Most countries do because the mosquitoes keeps them from lighting on you. And I was sitting there. I found the one place that I could get underneath that fan and keep cool. And I had a certain little fizzy drink that they give you. Oh, I was just enjoying myself as much as I can enjoy that peace and quiet. And all of a sudden, they turned the CD on, and that lady cranked that thing up. I thought, where'd that stupid American come from anyways? That's the way they do in our country. You ever wonder when you go in these places why the music's so loud? The devil knows what he's doing, friends. The devil knows what he's doing. I was listening at this song play, and I wasn't really listening to it so much as being annoyed at it, hoping that one day they would turn it off, and I just thinking, man, I'm just going to get up and get out of this place. I just can't stand sitting there and that stuff beating into my ears, me trying to think, meditate on the Lord and things, trying to get ready for some of these meetings coming in. And I, all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, and I felt like Brother Branham when he told him to look down at that cigarette pack. And the Holy Spirit said to me, listen to what's being said. And I thought, Lord, surely that's the devil got a hold of me somehow or another. And the Holy Spirit come again and said, no, listen at what's being done. And I listened and I listened, and it took me a few minutes to kind of catch on to what the Lord was trying to tell me. And all of a sudden I recognized that it was Elton John that was singing on that CD. And the Holy Spirit said, do you understand it? And I thought, Lord, I'm not getting it just yet. And I waited and I waited on him and I waited on him. All of a sudden it came to me, who is Elton John? I began thinking about what kind of man he was. He's a professed, open, gay, homosexual man. And if I understand right, he's married to a man openly right now. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, do you still think that he's right about homosexuality not coming to Africa? It's already here, said the Holy Ghost. And I thought, my God, that's right. Whether they realize it or not. Now, in that country, if you come walking down the street and you're a homosexual man, they figure it out on you. They will take you to the edge of the city. They'll bury you in a swamp pit. You'll never be seen again ever the rest of your life. But the Holy Ghost showed me they'll allow that CD to be played in every one of their restaurants, not realizing the spirit of homosexuality has already invaded their country. How did it do it? Music. Music. And they'll sit there and go, oh, what a wonderful song. What a great song. Oh, listen that way he sings that. Listen to old Billy Joel on piano, man, and all these different types. And they'll think, my, what great songs. And they don't even realize the devil is implanting in them the courage to become just like us right here. Where do you think people get the courage to do what they do? Where do you think politicians get the courage to lie? Huh? Where do you think they get the courage to cheat, scandalize, do all manners of evil? Where do you think they get the courage? Don't look at how they were raised. Go back and pull open their little CD cabinet and get a look at what they're listening to. Look, scroll through their iPod and see what they're listening to. I guarantee the music that they're listening to is influencing and molding everything that they are. My, praise the Lord. Now let's look at something here in 1 Chronicles 15 now, verse 14 through 16. Let's back up just a few chapters. Let's go back to the book of Chronicles for just a moment. Thank you. That sounds really good up there, actually. It's brought me back a little bit. I could feel myself getting hoarse. I knew it wasn't working, and we're having a little trouble with getting that mic straightened out this morning, but that's okay. We're not going to let the devil get glory. If I've got to stand here and whisper it, you just listen hard. Amen. Amen. First Chronicles 15, verse 14. I want to show you how important that this was. Now, before I read this, I want you to realize now, in the second chapter of Acts, the Bible tells us that David was a prophet. Now, we know that by influence of being a prophet like he was, being a prophet of sorts, being able to prophesy and having visions and things come to him, not necessarily a major word prophet, but having the ability to enter up into that prophetic where he could prophesy and write the Psalms and things like he did. He had the foresight to be able to lay out the temple by inspiration. Now, we know David himself already said here in Chronicles that he laid it out according to the words that Moses gave when he orchestrated the first tabernacle. So everything is being set in its right proper order. Now watch this, verse 14. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Now that's where every message person starts going, glory to God. That's right. It's the word. That's the word. All right, let's keep reading the word, okay? Look here at verse 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be... Oh, no. Oh, surely not. Surely not. You mean David is going to speak to the chief of the Levites, and instead of appointing the greatest evangelist in the land, he's going to appoint this? What is the benefit of having these men here? What, do you want your army to have courage or not?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So he appointed singers, now watch now, with instruments of music. Well, our Church of Christ brethren are falling off the log right now, aren't they? Glory to God, that's the problem with churches. We've got way too many musical instruments. Our message people believe that too. Because they believe if you get a guitar, you believe you get a set of drums or anything like that, that you're absolutely sinning.
Come on.
Lord, I didn't realize so many of y'all was Church of Christ this morning. Huh? Come on now. Oh, if it's too loud, glory to God, the prophet wanted it quiet. And sometimes Brother Bram wanted it loud. What about them quotes? Sometimes the prophet didn't want it always soft. Sometimes you say, now everybody on your feet, everybody now to the top of your voice. Right. Well, last I checked, I have come through a few grades in school, just a few, but that's the opposite of soft, I think.
Amen.
Words amen now, children. Amen. Exactly right. Now watch how he says, with the instruments of music, psalteries, harps. Oh, we love that, don't we? Ling, 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 ling. Ling, tweedle, 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 tweedle. We think, oh, that's my kind of music. Oh, that's the way I like to hear it. And then here would come the next guy with cymbals. Clapping, 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 clang, 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 clang. Lord, we've surely backslid shores of the world. No, you haven't. You've just got another harmony to add to your other orchestra. And this is a needful part. Because sometimes you need to give your brain a break. Now, I know you're all like I am. You're young. You're strong. You're healthy. You've got all the ability. You think, man, I'll never die. I'll live to be 130 years old. Until you sit in a doctor's office and he looks at you and says, you're a diabetic. Until you come to the spot to where you realize you're about to die. Until you realize your own mortality and recognize how fragile this thing we call life is, you don't realize the stress you're putting on your body by not allowing your brain to relax from time to time. When you overwork your mind, you are overworking your body. Your system will suffer. Your thoughts, your thoughts, the way you think about things will cause your pancreas to fail, cause your heart to fail. It'll cause your arteries to clog. And this is the reason why people 20 years our senior turn around and they're in such bad shape. You know why? Because we have this arrogant, selfish attitude on us. Well, glory to God, I'm young and I can live forever. And that's the reason why we get in this state later on in life. You've got to learn that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you sit around stressing your brain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and overworking your mind, I don't care if you're the deepest thinker in the world, you've got to give your brain a break. Because your body needs rest. Watch you now. Cymbals and sounding. That means a loud sound. By lifting up the voice of joy. So now sometimes loud music, it interrupts the train of meditation. But soft music, it fosters that environment. So Brother Bram is saying, now sweetly on the organ now. Easy now, sister, brother, ever who you are, sweetly now on the piano. Sweetly now, real easy. What was he doing? He wanted the message that he had preached to stay in the minds of the people. He wanted them to meditate on it. So he wanted the music to reflect an atmosphere of meditation at the end. This is why a lot of times whenever we're going to pray for folks, we shouldn't be singing Meeting in the Air. We should be singing Only Believe. You say, for what reason? Because the loud music interrupts the train of thought in many people. And I've seen this down through my years of preaching, that when somebody's really whooping it up on the music in the back and you go to pray for somebody, I've watched that person time and time and time again struggle to understand what is actually taking place at the platform. Them not even knowing it, me not even knowing it. But their cognitive thought is being interrupted because that music is bypassing the cognitive thought and is making their body give responses. And instead of them wanting to meditate on faith and being delivered and all those kind of things that you're telling them or that you're trying to pray for them, their body is responding to that music and it causes a confusion. And remember, God is not the author of confusion. So Brother Ram would say, sweetly now. Easy on the organ. Brother, sister, dear, ever who you are, now real easy on the organ. Let's sing The Great Sympathizing Jesus is Here. Why do you think Brother Branham done that? Say, well, it's the end of a service. Nobody's all that excited. No, no. His music was setting an atmosphere so that their minds could meditate on what's been said. So that their minds could meditate on what's being preached. I have seen churches absolutely destroy messages that have been preached because the people wasn't really moving. They wasn't really jumping and jerking and shouting, but everybody was real quiet and real meditative, and that pastor not having any knowledge of what he was doing. He would get up there and choose a fast song and kill the entire thought because he thought the people were backslid by the time the church was over, when actually it was the other way around. They were right where they needed to be. They needed to think. They needed to meditate. They needed to be conscious of what was being said, and the music should have reflected that atmosphere. But because not everybody was jumping and jerking and shouting, the pastor thought, well, I got to get everybody moving. I can get about a movement. Boy, these folks are mad. Sometimes they're not mad. Sometimes they're thinking. Amen. Hey, children, sometimes you need to think at the end of church. Amen. Sometimes you need to think a little bit more than at the end of church, but sometimes you need to think at least at the end of church. Come on now. And I've seen so many people, by not following the inspiration. I remember one time I was at a meeting and the Holy Ghost was falling all over the place. And I invited the musicians up. And this sister got up on the organ, and boy, she lit that organ up. I mean, just as loud as she could play. And all of a sudden, you could feel that in the spirit, and the whole thing started dying down. It killed it completely out. Why? The music was wrong. The music was wrong. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Now, let us skip ahead about 10 chapters. Look here in verse 1. Now, I want to show you something, why this is important. Now, I love how David says this. In 1 Chronicles 25:1, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should, watch this, prophesy with harps, psalteries, and cymbals. Now, I love this. So you're not just playing a chord. Anybody can learn to play a chord. People with no musical ability whatsoever, you can take their little pinky and put it on G, take their finger, put it on C, put their thumb, put it on E, and say, now push. And they push, they played C chord. Anybody that's got fingers can do that. If they're not absolutely, they're not disabled or something, and they got physical ability, they can put their hand on a chord. But that is not what David was trying to appoint. David was not trying to appoint musicians that had only the ability to play a chord, but he was appointing men and women who were anointed to prophesy with what they were playing. Do you realize, as I told our church here a while back, we were sitting there in service about four or five Wednesdays ago, something like that, and there was a brother beginning to sing a real old song. And while he was singing one of the verses, it was about divine healing. And I've been studying on this right here, and I've been looking for the Lord to vindicate His word word to me and let me know that some of these things I was studying were right. And as I was looking at it, the brother started singing, oh my, and the Holy Spirit fell in the congregation, and you could feel the anointing of healing drop right in that service, and the word hadn't even been preached yet. Do you realize that many times we're waiting on the word to bring us our blessing, and you might have already missed it? When you're standing there singing, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity, and by his stripes I am healed. Do you realize if you sing that with understanding, do you realize what you're doing? You're prophesying. You are prophesying to the devil. You are prophesying to yourself. Come on now. You are prophesying of what the words of that song are singing. When you say, I'm going to make the rapture, I am prophesying. When you say, there ain't going to be no devil there, you are prophesying to the devil. You are prophesying. Oh, praise be to the Lamb of God. You are prophesying with the words that you are singing. Amen. Paul said, if I sing, I'm going to sing with understanding. Amen. It's more than just singing a bunch of words or putting melodies together. You need a revelation of what you're singing. But let's face facts. Most message churches have gotten to the spot to where they pull out, I ain't going to use the Bible. Maybe you got a book here I can use. You pull it out and you'll say, glory to God. Let's turn to page 4. In the Only Believe Psalm book, they come from the east and west. Poor old fella can barely sing it. He's about falling asleep himself. The piano player's clunking along. The guitar's in G chord. She's in C chord. And the other ones are in F chord. It's the awfulest mess you ever heard in your life. Everybody playing a different key. Everybody playing a different thing. And the people sitting out there going like this. Do you understand that that is the devil that has got a hold of that service? Do you realize when you see such an affair, Satan is working in the midst of those people? Oh, you say, but what if they don't know any better? I believe if God gives a man or woman a gift, they know better. You say, how? They just automatically know better. The gift teaches them. The gift shows them. The gift educates them. Oh, glory to God. I ain't going to learn no new chords. David said, play skillfully before the Lord. Amen. I ain't going to learn new songs. David said, play a new song unto the Lord. Amen. But what we have in the message, you know what we have? I mean this respectfully now. Turn to page 2 in the Only Believe Psalm book. Let's sing Old Rugged Cross. And you wonder why when the preacher comes out, the people aren't ready for the word? It's because there's no effect in the song service. Nobody has been there to break the spirit that is on those people. Because whether you like to admit it or not, you walk in here and you got devils on you. I do too. All you say, glory to God, not me. Well, evidently you must be the one angel that came into the church this morning. I didn't realize we had holy seraphims and cherubims around the service this morning. God bless you, holy visitors. But if you're like me, you get aggravated. When you're behind people and they're driving 10 miles an hour and you're wanting to go 50, you get aggravated. Well, there's a few of you going to be honest this morning. The rest of you, I don't know, but praise the Lord now. And so you develop little things, little spirits start getting on your mind and aggravate you. And the devil do this and do that. And then you think, my God, I'm so aggravated. I just want to break somebody in two. And then you come into church and you're walking in like this. The minute the deacon sees you, say, God bless you, sir. Nice to see you. The minute nobody's looking, you're right back to the same old thing. And believe me, you think you're hiding yourself when the song leader's up here just because he's closing his eyes don't mean he don't see you. Now, sometimes you can feel and not see a thing. And he has awarded the task of having to come into this church and sing all of those spirits off of you. Well, how is he going to do it if you're not willing to be blessed? Or if the song service is not important enough to show up on time for it? How many people you know in the message show up late? Always. They show up late. And friends, I don't mean circumstances like myself. Hey, I had to drive a 700 mile to get here. Huh? And there's times that it's just difficult to make it right. Sometimes I'm burning in here right at the minute. And sometimes I'm better than that. Sometimes I'm not. But if I live 10 minutes from church or 30 minutes from church, I should make it a point. Get in here and get myself ready and be ready to sing. Oh, but you say, God, I can't hold a tune in a bucket. God likes your tune. God likes your bucket. The point is not to sing so everybody else can recognize your voice, but to blend in together in harmony one with another and sing unto the Lord. And prophesy. The devil has told you all week you're not going to make it. So then you come into church and somebody sings a song, I'm going to make it. You understand what happens when the devil does that? He has busted your hide all week long. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to be there. You ain't never going to make it. And as a matter of fact, you're just going through your week. And as he's telling you all that stuff, you just ignore him. And the minute he says you're not going to make it, you start singing, I'm going to make it by the grace of God. And the devil says, hey, didn't you hear me? I said, you're not going to make it. I'm going to make it by God's grace. Before long, the devil stomps back down into hell with his tail between his legs. Another devil said, well, how did it go? Terrible. I told him over and over, he's not going to make it. What did he do? He ignored me altogether. Glory. Amen. How did you do it? You didn't allow his words to enter your right brain. You shut it off by letting the music go into your left brain. And you sang it loud enough that you didn't think about nothing. Amen. One place David said, sing aloud on your bed. Amen. I guarantee one thing, it'd do us a whole lot better than counting sheep. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Oh, you say, but I might wake somebody up. Oh, don't worry about it. They probably need to be woke up because they need to think. They need to sing too. Amen. It'd be a whole lot better than going to bed and tossing and turning and worrying and grumbling. So if in the middle of the night, Sister Smith, Brother Cam wakes up singing, I command my hands in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You understand, he's obeying the sermon this morning. Right, buddy? So don't jump out of your skin. Don't jump out of your skin, Suzanne. Oh, you say, what do I do? Maybe join in, have a little duet while you're in there. Amen. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost come down in that house. It might make a difference in your home. Come on, somebody. Oh my, but we drive in. The Word. This is the Word. Amen. Look in Phoenix. There is nothing like music. God heals by music. He said, did you know that? Uh-huh. God heals by music. Sometimes when you feel all down, as we call it. I know ain't none of y'all ever been there, but if you ever get there, just go down through the dump part where you sit down in the dumps, and about halfway in, you'll see a sign on the side of an old trash can that says, Ben was here. Been there a few times. I know some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. Bless your heart. I mean, hobnobbing with the seraphims and the cherubims and the zooms all day. I imagine you don't even have an idea what I'm talking about. Come on now. But sometimes you get down in the dumps. You get so discouraged you don't even feel like you're saved. Come on now, be honest with me. There are times that you feel like I'm not going to make it. So your answer is push play and play a tape. Sometimes that's not the tool you need to fight with. I'm going to prove that to you in a moment. He said, when you feel all down in the dumps, just put on one of those tapes. Glory to God, the prophet said tapes. Read the next part. Music or record tape. Music tape or record. Go to playing it. Why didn't Brother Bram say, put on one of my tapes. If you're feeling down in the dumps, go listen at Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom, Earthly Bride. Hey, I don't mind telling you, when I'm discouraged, an 8-hour sermon's the last thing I put on. Well, half of you want to be honest, half of you are too scared to be honest, but we're all in the same boat. We're all fellas in the same ship having fellowship. That's right. When you get down in the dumps, what are you going to do? You go grab spoken word as original seed? Glory to God. I'm going to listen until that devil leaves me. And about 20 minutes into the sermon, you hear Brother Bram say certain things, and because your brain is going brrrr, and it needs rest, it needs a break. And because it's running 100 miles an hour and you haven't rested it, then you start listening at that sermon, and 20 minutes into something you hear Brother Bram say, you get discouraged all over again. You know why? Because you have fatigued your mind. You have fatigued your human spirit, and it cannot take the pulsation of more reasoning, more understanding, more revelation. It needs rest.
Amen. Good.
Oh, I feel deliverance in here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch what Brother Bam says. The first thing you go, so go to playing it. The first thing you know, you are patting your foot and your hand, and it's all over with. You're up and ready to go again, he said.
Amen.
Why didn't he say, put on one of my great sermons, the anointed ones at the end time? Brother Bam could have said this. This is 1965, or 63 rather. This is April of 63. They had plenty of tapes available. Almost 30 years of Brother Bam's ministry. He could have said, go back and listen to why we are not a denomination. You mean to tell me a prophet's antidote was not to get alone and read the Bible, but it was to put on music?
Amen.
Friends, certain tools can do certain jobs. And we have to learn to let the certain jobs be done by certain tools. Oh, but then I'd feel backslid. I'd feel back from God. I'd feel backslid if I was to get out there and turn the word away to listen to music. It's always amazing to me, the people like, you know, that never want to go to doctors. Those same people feel like God can move from within them and heal their body. They don't want to go to a doctor to get external help. Or they're not the same people that use the concept of, I'm not going to eat because that's external help. They won't go to a doctor, but yet they'll go to a buffet.
Amen.
Excuse this, but you're a hypocrite in your thinking.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Amen. You'll go for help because you need it.
Amen.
Last I checked, oxygen comes from the outside of the body, not the inside.
Amen.
And sometimes you need external help. I told our people Wednesday night, preaching on jealousy and selfishness and those type of things. I was preaching on Genesis religion, where Cain got selfish over his brother. You realize that God said to Cain, I'll make you his ruler? Do you realize that? He said that he was going to make Cain the ruler over Abel. He said all you had to do is do like your brother did. And he was so jealous that God approved of his sacrifice and not his. He could not humble himself, even though God said, I'm going to make you a king over your brother. I told our people Wednesday night, I've seen many people sit right here in this church and miss many a blessing because somebody would get up to sing or play and they start thumbing through psalm books, gooing at the babies, looking at their watch, scratching their head, picking their fingernails. Don't you realize you're missing a very vital part of your walk with God when you don't enter into the singing part of church? Praise the Lord.
Good.
He said, that's a wonderful name you're wearing. Nervousness is a horrible thing. Keeps you tore up all the time. Of course, you were born nervous. And all of your life you've been nervous. I see you even as a schoolgirl. Nervous. Nothing could help it. Everybody says, get next to yourself. But that don't do no good. You can't help it, sister. There's something that frights you. He said, but Jesus is here to take it from you. Do you believe that? He says. He said, God, as I lay my hands upon this young lady here in the prime of life, I curse this affliction in her body. Not only fear, young lady, look here. Will you do as I tell you? You feel all right at this time because it's gone. When you come here, there was a dark shadow around you and it's gone now. It scared you. You couldn't help it, but it comes to you. Now that unclean spirit is gone, he walks in dry places and he will try to return again. Watch now. But you take my word as God's prophet. Don't you never have a frown on your face. Sing all day long and praise God. No matter how you feel or what takes place, it will leave you and won't come again. He said, now how would I know that except God told me that? Now why wouldn't Brother Branham say, now look here, sister, I'm God's prophet. I laid my hands on you. Don't ever worry about the devil coming back because you've got the blessing of a prophet on you. Why didn't Brother Branham tell her? Don't worry about it. I told the devil to leave and he's going to stay gone. He actually tells this woman he's going to come back. You have one chance to stand in front of a prophet of God, a vindicated prophet of God. You have one opportunity. And you are coming expecting the deliverance of a lifetime. And while you stand there before this prophet, he casts a spirit off you and then tells you, by the way, it'll be back. You know, most of us would have done, we'd have walked out and said, God don't even love us. God don't care for us. We'd have quit church altogether and called it a day. But real Christians, they fight.
Amen.
And they realize that every time they turn around, there is a fight coming.
Amen.
This is not a picnic. This is a war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, somebody. This is not a picnic. We're not here to eat cookies and so forth. This is a war.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The prophet said, but it will come back.
Right.
So what was Brother Branham's antidote for keeping this evil spirit of nervousness away from her? Sing. Sing.
Amen.
I don't mind telling you. Unless I would have believed that man was who he said he was, I probably would have put up a website after it. Because I'd have been like the rest of these guys out here. I'd have said he is absolutely out of his mind. But after you study some of the things I read to you in science today, you can understand why by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, this little prophet told this woman this. Because he understood the power of music. So watch now, when this devil of nervousness would come, what would he do? He would talk to her. Brother Benjamin said, sister dear, I see you now. He said, you back there in the back. He said, you're nervous. He tore up all kinds of thoughts. Ah, see, that's it. Nervousness comes with one thought after another. What if? What if? What if this? What if that? What if this? Oh, and then so. And your brain is going brrrr. So that devil come out and said, now what about this? What about your, you know how you handle that? That old spirit goes to talk and you sing, I'm gonna make it somehow.
Amen.
And the devil said, oh, Jesus is my help. He is my governor. Glory to God. And the devil stomps back down into hell with his tail between his legs and said, how'd it go? Said, terrible. Why? Didn't you have the right attack? Yes, I had the right attack. Didn't you study their nature? Yes, I studied their nature. But I couldn't get an edge. I couldn't get a place in because every time I went for the right brain, she reached for the left.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. This was her approach to war. Because this was not Brother Branham's battle to fight. This was hers. Don't never have a frown on your face. Good Lord, how we need deliverance this morning. I'll say amen to that. Brother Branham says, sister, dear, I'm not looking at your eye, but I want to ask you something. Do you believe what I've told you is the truth? All right. You've been suffering with nervous trouble, haven't you? Amazing me how many of these quotes from Mauricio come from nervousness. You've been suffering with nervous trouble, all right? Go and be well. Jesus makes thee whole. Go on and don't think about it anymore.
Right.
Okay. So how do you do that exactly?
Come
Now, one thing I like in the house of God is to be purely honest. Don't lie, because God knows you're lying anyhow. So I like honesty. And I'm going to go ahead and be honest. There are times that I think too much. Sometimes my thoughts betray me because I go through little cycles in my brain and they're absolute Benedict Arnolds. You know what I'm talking about? They're turncoats. I could be sitting here in the house of God thinking I'm a bride. I'm a member of God's body. I'm going to make it. I'm an invincible army. I'm part of the greatest thing on the face of the planet. I'm predestined. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the minute I walk out on the street and somebody's driving 10 miles in front of me, the devil says, and how elected are you again? And then I start entertaining that. You know what? You're probably right. I'm not nowhere where I need to be with the Lord. I need to get myself straightened out. Glory to God. I need to get the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever been there? My problem is I'm just now getting saved. You ever thought that? You ever had that come through your mind? Say, glory to God, all them years back then I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I got her now. Hallelujah. Huh? That's the devil working on your thoughts. So tell me, how are you going to perform what this prophet said? Go and don't think about it no more. How are you going to do that? Thank God he didn't finish the sentence. Just rejoice and be happy. Do you understand there is something about singing, rejoicing, and worshiping that it literally shuts off that part of your brain like you would turn a valve to a faucet and turn the water off and crank it down. When you are really singing and worshiping, you are shutting that part of yourself off so that God can minister to your subconscious. I personally believe if we would learn how to unfatigue our minds, there would be a lot of divine healing that would come back into the church. Amen. And you wouldn't even have to lay hands on anybody. Amen. I believe that if they could understand this, they could understand this. One of the brothers that testified after the meeting last week, and when I preached this thought, he got up, he said, I've had stomach trouble all of my life. And I read a quote, I'm going to read to you in a moment, where this certain man said he had stomach trouble. Brother man told him to sing and worship and so forth like that. And the brother said, as I was reading the quote, he said, God healed his stomach trouble standing right there. Had it all of his life. Do you understand the power of just understanding what is wrong with us sometimes? There is liberty in that kind of revelation. Because whether we want to admit this or not, the devil does his best to fatigue our minds. And if he can't hit you with diabetes or heart trouble or high blood pressure or any of them other things, he will so overwhelm your mind until eventually your health follows the breakdown of your mind. This man's sitting here with his head down praying. He's suffering with oppression. You believe that God will heal you and take that oppression from you? If you do, raise your hand, all right? You had more faith than you thought you did, haven't you? He said, the devil has been lying to you, but he's left you now. Now watch. Go on and be happy, sing, and rejoice.
Amen.
Okay, now if I'm sitting there in the congregation and I hear these words, if I don't have an understanding of what this prophet's talking about, I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out later on. That this man and the way he said it to me, I'm going to find out it's right if I do what he says. But if I don't believe what he's telling me, I'm going to walk out there, stomp my feet, and I'm going to roll my lip out, and I'm going to say, I didn't even get blessed tonight. But Brother Branham was giving these people the antidote and the approach to the war they were fighting. And friends, it's the approach to the war we're fighting as well. When has there ever been an age where young people our age are committing suicide and going crazy and having to live on Xanax and Prozac and everything else in the world? Got depression, oppression, nervousness, all kinds of emotional trouble. Not the older people, our age group. Don't you know what's happening? The devil has so fatigued one generation after another till it's getting younger all the time. I'll be 39 years old in March. There's no reason why I should have diabetes. If I was like my dad, I should be strong enough to pick up the back end of a truck. If I was my grandmother, my 4'8" grandmother, I'd be working on the railroad.
Come on, brother.
Ah. But each generation gets weaker and wiser. And the cells degenerate because of hybrid food. And Brother Bam said, aren't your brain cells cells as well? So Satan says, I know how I can drive them to depression. I know that how I can work them into a frenzy and give up. I'll so bombard their mind and I'll offer them no way of escape. And they'll use music as a way of escape. And because I'll build in components to this worldly stuff, that there'll be a tiny ounce of relief. See, the devil knows how to torture a man and a woman. There'll be just enough relief that they'll cry a little bit. But what they don't realize is that the whole time I'm giving them that little bit of relief, I'm shooting them that much more full of poison. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Do you realize the term rock and roll? My sisters, forgive me for being this blunt, but I've got to say this. The term rock and roll is a slang term they used on the street for sexual intercourse. That's the origination of the term rock and roll. So when they crowned Elvis king of rock and roll, you see what kind of king he really was. They're developing their ideas. Now, what is so harmful about him singing about a hound dog or blue suede shoes? What's so harmful about that? It wasn't the idea that the music and the words itself was necessarily ultimately harmful, but it was just enough of a seed so that they could get a hold of the subconscious of a human being and so draw them away from spiritual music that eventually they would, just like a cigarette, they would crave more and more and more. Brother Bram said Elvis was an instrument in the hands of the devil. He said, if you believe me to be God's prophet, he said, you remember, he is an incarnate devil. Brother Bram says right here, he said, anointed by Satan to lead people to the battle of Armageddon. This is what Brother Bram said. But singing about blue suede shoes, how could that be destructive? It was just like that first little nip off a cigarette. It was just enough, Brother Cam, for them to want more and more and more and more. So Satan implants into the minds of teenagers these thoughts, these feelings. Why did he focus on the teenagers? Why didn't he go after the old folks? Why did he go for the youth? Why? Brother Ram said here, without money, without price, the unconverted heart, he said, rock and roll will catch it all the time. Every time, he said, because there's a spirit inside of them that craves after the things of the world. So you see a smoking man's taste. It was said about many of the great artists, as they call them artists. One of the great guitar men. You know the one I'm talking about. Mr. Electronic, electric, voodoo playing, rock and roller. He'd start playing his little lyrics on his guitar. As he would play his little lyrics, one of the chief of the voodoo tribe said, this man plays exactly as we do when we're calling on devils. And this individual, as he was absolutely playing this type of music, he would get down in his, with his guitar across his stomach, and he said, something would take me over, and music would come out of me that I didn't even know I could play. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? One of the greats. One of the ones that is revered as being the greatest guitar man to ever walk the face of the planet. And his own testimony, his own words, something possessed me when I would play my music. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord God. One of the other artists said it this way. This, of course, this same idea comes from many of the different cultist type religions, and I was hoping that you would maybe be able to bear with me just a moment and let me just give you just a little bit of this other side for a moment. Because you think, well, where in the New Testament does it bring these things in? When you start looking here in the Bible, I'm looking at several places right now. Just so many things, we'll never get to it this morning, but we might come back this afternoon, the Lord help us get to it. But you're looking at so many of the different effects of the music and the way that they would play. Even the rhythms are significant in the way that they would learn and would grow. And even the artists would say that even one of these artists that said, I'm trying not to call their names. I don't want to glorify these bunch of devils. But the fact of the matter is when they would play, they said that they are creating a sexual excitement in their rhythms. And they said the purpose of their music was to turn young women and young men into whatever desires they want to. You understand what I'm trying to say? Their music to influence. Now watch, on the other side, one of these doctors said that group singing caused people to register higher on the measures of measuring health and quality of life. That group singing would cause elderly cancer survivors and caretakers of ill people and so forth of that nature, those that are either at the end of their life or getting ready to come to the end of their life, or somebody that was coming through cancer, some dreadful terminal disease, it said that as they would sing as a group, it would improve the quality of their life. So these artists know there's an advantage to getting everybody in the same mindset as they play the rhythms. So that's why the music needs to be harmonizing up here so that it can harmonize out here. If somebody up here is out of rhythm, out of tune, or out of order, and they're not bringing all their harmony up here, then it throws the rhythm out there. Understand what I'm saying? So they orchestrate. The best musicians always learn how to complement one another. Well, certainly that's the way the devil set it up. Because the better they can play and the more in sync they are, the more the minds of the people fall in sync and rhythm with what they're doing. You know how it is. Sometimes you go to certain churches and some poor old fella, bless his heart, or her heart for that matter, whichever way it is, they have the piano and it's going well. Piano's doing good. Guitars are fine. And some poor little guy get up here on the organ or something like that, and he'll tear the thing all to pieces because he don't know what he's playing. And he can't follow him and all that. And you can literally, now I've been on this side of the pulpit many years, so I know what I'm talking about. You can literally look out there, and while he's disrupting, you can see people going like that. They don't realize they're doing it. But the effect of an unharmonized music is affecting them out there in the congregation. So these men learned certain rhythms to their sounds. Praise the Lord. Paul says, I will sing. Some of the words that Paul used here are different types of words. One of them meaning sing, just to sing. But in this kind, it means congregational singing. I will sing with those around me. Why? There's healing in that. There's healing in that. Now listen to me. Do you realize if you're standing here in this congregation and you are singing with everything you've got within you, the person standing next to you may have a devil on them. And it may be you singing that drives that spirit off of them. May not be the guy up here. Amen. Group singing. There's a benefit in group singing. Yeah. If everybody is participating, then hardly nobody's running out the back door. Amen. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, out and in, out and in. Huh? If everybody's participating, then nobody's worrying about what time's he going to be done? When's the preacher coming out? Amen. Why? It creates an energy in the church.
Good. Hallelujah.
Did you know that most song lyrics are an average of a third grade reading level? In 2014, a study was done. The man said, have you ever been driving along listening to the latest hit song on the top 20 station and thought, man, these lyrics are really dumb? He said, well, you're not alone. He said, according to the new study conducted by data whiz Andrew Powell Morris, the lyrics of the last decade's number one hit songs average a third grade reading level. Do you understand why that is? So Satan can implant a message into the minds of third graders. Catch them when they're young. Listen to this. He analyzed 225 songs and spent three or more that spent three or more weeks atop the Billboard charts in four different genres: R&B, hip hop, country, pop, and rock, and found that a second grader with slightly higher than average reading comprehension could have no problem grasping the lyrics. A second grader. While the study finding obvious, anyone who flipped on a radio, the number of surprising points in the data, because according to a study, country music is the smartest genre lyrically. I think I would question that. Pop and rock tie at 2.9, while hip-hop could fairly well be understood by a second grader in the latter half of the school year. And said, notice, oh, this is the thing that really grabbed me. These genres contain, in country, a lot longer, harder to pronounce words like cigarettes and hillbillies. But country music contains fewer words than rap pop songs, giving it another distinct advantage. People say, well, I just listen to country music. There's only one way to rightfully listen to country music. There's only one way I sanction. That's to listen to it in reverse. You listen to it forward, you lose your dog, your house, your cat, your wife, and everything. You listen to it backwards, you get it all back. I'm a big fan of redemption.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Second graders are affected by words and music because the devil knows, get them all singing the same song and they all get the same message.
Right,
can I go on a few minutes or should we pick it up this afternoon? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch this now. My, thank you, Lord God. In testimony, Brother Ram said, some of us are born to be musicians. I noticed that young lady not beating on them things, a xylophone, playing the organ, piano. I don't know nothing about that. I wouldn't know it was in tune or out of tune. It's that I couldn't tell it. God never sent me to play music. I was born a seer. They play music for the glory of God. That's the way of preaching the gospel. The man preaches it by the word. My way is by vision. Won't you believe all the witnesses God sent you? And can't you know that God's in them songs when you sing? That's something that blesses your soul. Oh, I hear him say in 1955, how God enters music. So you're creating a room for him to dwell in.
Right.
Your music and your worship and your singing, you are creating him a house. Glory, hallelujah. You are creating a room for Jesus to come in and shut the door. And God opens up the door when you sing and worship and enters into your music. You tell me there's no healing in that. God and your music and singing. If he's there while you're entertaining him, if you do a good job of entertaining him, he'll be like the king was to Esther. I give you everything you want up to half of my kingdom.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. My, listen to some of this. I love how he says in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a royal chosen priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brother Branham said the Samson and the Philistines, he said, Branham, tabernacle worldlyism is creeping out. He said, have you exposed your secret? Listen to what he says. He said, a few years ago, you were down there wallowing in the sawdust, and have you let it creep out by social, formal worship? Do you understand? That's why some churches are dead. Because when it comes to this part of the service, the singing, the music, the worship, they have no aspirations to build that part of a church. Brother, as preachers, as ministers, our job is to build the church in every category that God wants it built. And this is one of the aspects that is very neglected around the message of the hour.
Amen. Yes, brother.
Because people think, oh, we don't need music. I'll just a couple of songs, let's get to the word. Well, if a couple of songs get you ready, then a couple of songs is what you need. But if you come in 30 minutes and people aren't ready for the word, keep singing.
Amen.
40 minutes, keep singing.
Amen.
50 minutes, keep singing. 3 hours, keep singing. But most of us wouldn't tolerate that, would we? After the first 45 minutes, we'd all just shut down. Glory to God. The pastor's supposed to be on the platform 20 minutes ago. What's the matter with you, David? But what is it? People don't realize the value of their singing and their worship. They don't see the benefit of it. So what do? Like any old thing that they don't want, they throw it aside and say, let's get to the Word. So, in effect, they're skipping the Word to get to the Word. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said, God made you a worshiper. You'll worship something regardless of what it is. You'll worship your wife. You'll worship your children. You'll worship your automobile. You'll worship your pleasure. You'll worship something because it's in you to worship. So what did the devil do? He said, okay, if they're built to do this, then I want to find out how are they built. So no doubt the devil would study them while they were in church listening at them songs being sang. He would observe when the cymbals would crash. He would watch to see the reaction of the people. Remember, the prophet said he studied us every day of our life since the day we were born. He has studied humanity for 6,000 years. Do not think for not even a moment's time that he don't know what music will make you go. He knows. Because he studied the reactions through music all of these years. He said, if I tweak it just a little bit here, put a little bit lower bass on it, put a little bit deeper bass on it, and thump it a few more times, let's see what reaction that gets. So that dirty, low-down devil, no doubt he'd move on some of them poor Hottentots out there in Africa that didn't have any understanding about God or nothing. And they'd start beating a drum, and he would anoint some of them to see what would happen if they beat it this way. You see, he's performed many tens of thousands of experiments on humanity to find out how do they react. And so once he developed his craft, he caught the boy that God had given a good voice by the name of Elvis Presley. And when Elvis came along, he took all of that music. Brother Bram said he's playing the same stuff that come out of the Hottentot jungles of Africa. Well, tell me how Elvis learned African music. He didn't. But the originator who had performed the experiment, he knew what kind of rhythms to put in his mind. He knew what kind of beats to influence him with. And so when he'd play a guitar, he'd become anointed. Let's try beating it this way. And before long, he developed a style called rock and roll. Lord Jesus. Can I go just a bit further? In the church age, but brother, I said, have you noticed how the world gets in the spirits of the things that are in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances. Well, if it's theirs, it's not mine. They enter into the spirit of it. They don't sit like wallflowers. They enter into the feel of things. Okay, now that's great. We preach that. Glory to God, enter into the feel of it. But let's change it. How do the people most time get them into the feel of it? If you've ever been to a ball game, and you have, and I have too, you notice one of the first things that they do whenever they bring out some of their star players. It don't really matter who the player is nowadays. Every time they bring out one of the players, what's the first thing they do? In baseball, they play some rock and roll theme or some kind of music to introduce him. When they're bringing the star closer out of the bullpen, they'll play some big wild song. And everybody hangs around at least to the seventh inning stretch. Why? So they can sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Can you understand how much music is interwoven into every fabric of what Brother Bam said here? And these sporting events, ball games, and dances, what do all of them have in common? Music. Amen. So if they get into the feel of things by music, why shouldn't we get into the feel of things by music? Woo, glory. Oh, I felt something break loose. I feel like preaching now. Let's stand. Let's start all over again. Brother Bam said this day the scripture filled. That's what's wrong with the Pentecostal church. They'd jump and holler and carry on while the music is beating. But when the music stops beating, he said some of that beatnik music, someone playing called Christianity, he said all the glory of God, glory is gone. If it's the real praise of God, there's not enough whistles and enough power in the world to stop it. When it comes from God, it don't take the music to beat it up. It takes the Spirit of God to come down on it. And that's what does it. Notice this in Revelation chapter 15, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. If you go to Exodus 15, 1 through 7, you'll hear the song that he sang. Our God is the Lord is a man of war, and our God cast the chariots into the ocean. And everything he's singing about God, but he's singing about himself too. So it doesn't hurt me when I sing, I'm a bride, I'm a wife, I'm going to heaven, I'm the elect. Because in the song of Moses that they sang about God, they sang about themselves. You say, why? Because I'm a part of God's economy. And I'm not singing to encourage God, I'm singing to encourage me. Come on now, don't be selfish, don't be dishonest. There ain't nothing that encourages you more than talking about you. Amen. And not this me, but the real me. So why not be encouraged by singing about the real me? Now, all of you looking at me, that look on your face. Now, you know as well as I do your favorite subject is you. I learned a long time ago, you want to get people talking? They won't talk. They got their mouth like an iron clenched fist or something like that. Let them just ask them some questions about them. Let them talk about them and they'll never shut up. You know why? Because that's some people's favorite subject. And then we come to the house of God and God says, okay, so use that part of your humanity. Sing about you. Sing about you. And you almost feel bad about it. Singing about me being the bride, me being the elect. Oh God, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy. But you're using it wrong. In order to encourage yourself, you prophesy to yourself. I am the bride. I am the elect. I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm one of them. You're not singing to this old thing right here. You're singing to that predestinated gene of God that's been inside of your heart all these years. That little part of God. Amen. That little something of God, you're singing down inside of your heart and you're singing out, I'm prophesying to that guy. He's going to get the best of this other one out here. Amen. 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 Now let's stand. I was kidding you before, but let's quit. Let's find a place to stop. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the ever famous Acts 16, 25, 26. Paul and Silas sang in prison. Okay, now think. When they put them in these prison houses, they would have two bars that would run out like this for their legs and one bar that they would sit on. Many times they would shackle their legs down to these bars. So here these men are sitting on iron bars. And if it's a traditional type prison like they had, they're in a place where there's nothing but just a smell of cesspool and everything around them. They're absolutely just miserable in every way. And so Paul and Silas, Paul the messenger of the age, the man that God said is the pattern. He's the one I'm going to pattern every God-given ministry after in the New Testament. He's the man. If an angel preaches anything contrary, even if he preaches, his message is so right, let him be accursed, even if he preaches something different. You talk about an important man. He was the gap man between the Old Testament and the New Testament that God used to bridge together that Old and New Testament. You can't even interpret the Old Testament unless you hear what Paul has to say about it. And here Silas is sitting in prison with him, and you don't hear Silas say, hey, Paul, tell me to read me one of your letters out of Corinthians. Well, most of us would be offended about that. Well, he's the prophet of God. Preach to me, Paul. But what did the Bible say they did? They prayed, and then they sang praises. Why did they do that? Well, did these guys, did they just have so much suffering that they just went crazy in their brain? No. They had a tool. They had an approach to war. And in order to fight this battle, in order to get the right brain to shut off, they opened up the left brain. So they started singing. And the more they started singing, the more they started praising, the more that their body and their mind and their spirit started engaging in what they were singing. And they began to forget about their chains and forget about their problems and forget about all these issues like that. And God got to enjoying it so much. God was listening. God started patting his foot. God started clapping his hands. Boy, I like that tune them boys are singing. And what God didn't realize, well, God realized it, but what they didn't realize, while God was patting his foot, it was causing an earthquake down there in that jail cell. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was causing everything to shake and turn on. The doors were flying open. Everybody was running and screaming and saying, hold on, God, you're going to kill us. A little black lady said, take it easy on me, Lord, you're going to kill me. Music. They close their mind off. They give their brain a break. Because any of us could understand if you were sitting in a prison cell, that would be the hardest thing in the world, is to not concentrate on being in a prison cell. everywhere around you is whale's belly. You know what I'm saying? Seaweed, all this. No doubt maybe Jonah, when he was down there, maybe he would start singing and praising, thinking of one of the Psalms that David said, "The Lord is my refuge, a strong tower is he, my help." Maybe he'd cough on some seaweed. "My help in time of trouble, my God in time of need." And no doubt while he was down there in that seaweed, he would encourage himself by singing. And all of a sudden he got a little courage and he said, "You know, Lord, I've been bad about this whole thing. And I need to make this right with you. You told me to go down there to Nineveh and I've absolutely messed this up. Here I'm sitting down here. I don't even know where I'm at. And somehow or another I've been swallowed by this animal. I'm not dead. Been down here 3 or 4 days. I'm still breathing. Somehow I'm still living. But God, if you'll give me just one more chance." He didn't realize the whole time he was singing, he was serenading that whale right to Nineveh. Glory. Hallelujah. Because that little whale was going along singing himself. "The Lord prepared me. I am his servant." Oh my, could you imagine? When their songs, Brother Cam, begin to unify, he said, "I'll look again to his holy temple. Because you said, Lord, if we'll look that direction, that you'll hear from heaven in our time of need." Oh my. And about that time, that whale opened up his mouth and I spit out that prophet on that land. Oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't think, friends, that these men got through the hard days by just sitting down with Jehovah and just reading the Word. God would put songs in their heart. One of these days, I'd like to ask Elijah, what did you sing when you was underneath that tree? What songs did you encourage yourself with when you knew Jezebel was after you and you was a runaway prophet? When you was under that juniper tree, what you sing? Oh, glory. I'd like to ask some of these men sometime, "Moses, sing me the tune of that song you wrote. We know the words, we just don't know the melody." Can you imagine? Friends, what do you think we're going to do when we get to heaven? Sit up there and quote the word to each other for 10,000 years? Come on now. Come on now. If you know anything about the Bible at all, you know every time God was moving in heaven, the people were breaking out in praise and in song.
Amen.
Do you think when you enter into heaven that there's going to be a voice over the loudspeaker reading, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had dreams and visions upon his head, upon his bed"? Is that how you think the voice is going to welcome you into heaven? No. But I imagine whenever we take that celestial journey, when our bodies change, and the dead in Christ are gathered together with us in heavenly places, and we step into that eternal realm with God. Oh my. I'll read it to you tonight. Brother Branham said, at the first creation, the first birth of creation, Brother Branham said, that's when the angels of God sang together and the morning stars sang for joy. He said the angels begin singing at the first dawn of creation. He said, then when God recreated himself, or God created himself rather, or created again, in the second creation, when he created in the womb of Mary, and Jesus came forth, the birth, the second of God's greatest of creations. He said the angels introduced it by singing again as they welcomed the King in. Oh my, he was the greater of the creation. He was the greater of the creation, greater than the sun, greater than the moon, greater than the stars. He was God. But at each of these creations, the people would sing. I imagine the minute we see those gates of pearl begin to open up, there's going to be a sound of music coming through those gates. Because you're going to hear on the other side saints that have already been waiting on you all these years. You think for 2,000 years, after one life, after another has come to its end, and these people have taken the last breath of life, as they've entered into that word form body, for 2,000 years they have been collecting by the millions and millions. And there is over there waiting right now. Can you imagine what the song is going to be when the last few members of this collective body comes together? Amen. Brother Bram said we would sing Amazing Grace. And he said the angels would step aside There'd be so many because there's an innumerable host of angels. Remember the Bible said there's so many you couldn't even count them nearly. They'll surround the earth. I don't know how they'll do that, but somehow or another maybe they've got the ability to defy gravity. Maybe they'll surround, maybe they'll, I don't know, make a perimeter around the bride. As they make a perimeter around the bride, they'll have to bow their heads because they don't understand the song, Amazing Grace. But we do. But we do. And we'll start singing and worshiping. I imagine there won't be one preacher in that place that'll stand up and say, I'm glad I got you all together here in this heavenly realm. Let's finally understand the seventh seal. Everybody get your Bible. No, that's the way we perceive it. But God in His grace will lay our Bibles down. We'll shut the brain off if there's a right brain in that new body. We won't think about nothing, but we'll just concentrate on Him. And we'll sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I know I've thrown a lot at them. But Lord, I got a little time to do a whole lot. Thank you for your word today. I know I've been lengthy too, Lord. I don't mean to do that, but I just try to give them all I can give them while I'm here to give it to them. I pray, Lord, that you'd take these words that have been said today and that you'll bless your children. You'll help them, you'll encourage them, you'll strengthen them, and you'll give them wisdom and revelation and understanding of the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for what we've heard today. Give us your confidence and your favor as we press on the remainder of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, y'all, if you would, let's sing just a little bit before we close. In prisoner's chains, bleeding stripes, I bless your name. You love Him.
Amen.
Yes. Yo, it's okay that I went a little long today. God bless your hearts. This is the only place in the United States I preach long. That's truth. But you know, this is the only place that I can promise you, I've seen the quote made live, that if you're with believers, you can be there all night. That's right. That's one reason I think it just goes like it goes. My, because we're not really in some big gigantic hurry. We just love the Word. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm a musician, okay? I love music. I love to sing. But this study has completely revolutionized my life. Because I realize now, every time I put my hands on the keys, because I'm a piano player too, every time I play the organ, the bass, or the guitar, every time I pick up a drumstick, so I can play a little bit, all of those instruments, just a little bit, I sit down and thank God. Let every rhythm, let every sound, let every note that I play, let me realize that if there's a Saul in the building that's got a devil on it, that I can strum that godly harp and them spirits have to leave your children. Every time I sing, you realize singing? You sing by vocal cords. Chords. So when you sing, you're actually playing chords when you sing. You're playing your vocal cords. So I told our people the other night, don't hide your talents. Get usury, spiritual usury, off what God's given you. Every time you sit down and you do anything at all, remember, every time you open your mouth to sing a verse, you may not even know the words. You might just hum along with it. A brother back home, when I was teaching on this one night in the Bible study, quite a time ago, he said, Brother Ben, he said, I'm not a singer. I said, well, that's all right. He said, but I'll tell you what I do. He said, I talk through it. He said, while they're singing, I talk the words. I'm one of them. Praise God, I'm one of them. I said, to me, sounds like you're in the same spirit of the composers the rest of them are in. Amen. Amen. Can you see from some of the quotes I read to you how much we've robbed ourselves from liberty in our minds by not focusing on the music? This is what God gave us. This is what God helped us to have. My brother, my older brother Greg, he's a professional. When I say professional, I mean at one time in international competition, he ranked 13th in the world. That means if there were 500 musicians that were considered the best, he was number 13. The man can play, and he's got a gift to play. And some one time many years ago when I was a boy, my mom and dad were fighting. Boy, they were pulling the roof off the house. They were fighting so hard. My brother walked around, sat down on the organ, Brother Steve. He started playing 10,000 years. It'll all be over. 10,000 years and it'll all be gone. And within just a few moments, there was a peace dropped into that house. And my mom and dad both just shut up, walked to other rooms. Next thing you know, they come back, tears in their eyes, making things right with one another. Why? Because he stood up there and said, "Not glory to God, the prophet of God said, the Bible said." No, but music. Because if you're dealing with somebody upset and angry, you know how it is. You can't really reason with them like that. But by taking music, he was able to get a message down inside of them, and they didn't even have to think about it. Oh, glory. Friends, think about it. When everything is going wrong on your job, why not keep an iPod in your lunchbox? Or some of these little deals that you can pack with you. You're sitting at lunch, put that earbud in your ear. Go sit down at the picnic table, unless it's freezing like this, and find you a corner somewhere in the locker room. And let that music just minister to you. Just play and play and play. What if when your kids are cutting up and you can't seem to get things right? What if you just go over and push a godly, just play on a godly tape somehow or another? Or push play on your MP4 or whatever these type of things are now that you may have all these different little gadgets. There should be no reason why we shouldn't have it around us. God's made a way for us to have everything we need. This is God's approach to war. Has it helped you? Do you see differently about this thing called music? Then, as we get ready to close, take your need and put it in this little room. And make a room for him right now. Make this room and say, "God, I'm not locking the door, but I'm giving you access to open the door and come into this room. You see my needs stacked up around here, but I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to sing and praise. And while I worship you, you take care of these needs over here." You believe you can do it? With all your heart now. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed and they went free. I bless your name. Amen. Oh, I bless your name. I give you truth, the way. You are the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Some midnight hour.
Bless you, baby. Midnight hour.
Reach out right now. Breathe. they continue to play softly, we heard a wonderful message today. I believe we are truly picking up the importance of this. I could go on right now just for several minutes and confirm that this was the Lord. Even what the Lord has been doing personally, even a situation that just happened the other day, these things are ringing out to be true. You do have the power with the words that you sing. You do have the ability to bring freedom. Amen. It's such a simple thing. If David, just by the playing of a harp, could push an evil spirit off of Saul, what can we do, brother, sister? When we come to the assembly, we now, even more than ever before, I've never hit it in that direction, but we have the approach to war. Hallelujah. We've heard the word. Amen. But now we realize, because see, a lot of times the preacher's not out here. You are bringing that approach before the word even gets here. Bring that anointing. And brother, sister, I tell you what, I could just go right now. I had notes that they're just rolling right out. But I just want to say this. You know, we're not going to hold you too long. But if you have need of prayer, you know, sometimes, you see, they needed to approach the prophet of God. And God would deliver them from that spirit of oppression, that spirit of nervousness, whatever that was, right there. And then they had to continue that on. If you have need of prayer today, don't miss this opportunity. We learned a lot today. And understanding. Because I'll tell you what, you and I both know a lot of times we need to get right to that left side of the brain and leave all the reasoning. Leave all the intellectualism. Just leave it. And just make God feel like God. Sing of our victory. Sing of who He is. Hallelujah. He is not a weak God. He is a powerful God. Amen. Maybe we'll sing another song. And if you have need, don't be ashamed. Get out of the time. Get out of all that. You know, there ain't nobody sitting here say we don't have needs here. We have needs here. But yet, you know and I know, there's something inside of you that says we are called for so much more than this. Let's be free with God. Let's be free to love God. Let's be free to create an atmosphere where the Word can take its free course in our lives. Amen? Maybe you don't want to listen to that. You don't want to sing too fast of a song. We talked about singing an identification song. I want to sing that song. It's between fast. It's between slow. But thank God I am free. We are free people. We are free. Now, if you ever need a prayer, you can come up. If not, let's think about this. Let's think about these words. Let's move past. Let's move past. I know. You say, oh, I'm hungry. Brother, sister, I'm so hungry for Jesus Christ. I've been looking for more and more of God. God knows my heart. And you know how it is. The devil, he tries to bind you up and tell you you're not free. That you're unworthy. That you did this and you did that. When we forget the purpose. This is not a religious, just a religious expression that we bring forth. This is coming to the house of God for a battle. A battle to give God preeminence. When we leave here, we want God to be first in our lives. We want to be free from the attacks of the devil. We want to walk out of here and show the world that we have Jesus Christ in our midst. Amen? We're not just producing an atmosphere here. We are producing an atmosphere everywhere we go. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We do have the Holy Ghost in a way that no other church can produce it in this area, amen? We have the Word, the person, amen? the open expression of God, hallelujah, in our midst. There is a Holy of Holies experience. We have passed behind that veil. We are living in the Shekinah, brother and sister. Hallelujah. You say, I don't feel like it. It's time to start talking like we do. It's time, watch, when Aaron went behind that veil, those bells rang, holy, holy, holy. He had to walk on them from the holies of holies. But you and I, brother, sister, we have been called to go beyond the veil. Hallelujah. Maybe we should sing a slow song. But let's sing a song that we're free. Tonight when we come back, let's see how free we are. When we come out, let's not wait for Brother Ben to get us into a condition where, okay, now I can be happier. Now I can look for this and now I can reason this. But let's come in here like the children of God. Just like you're saying, they all sung that song of the redeemed. But they weren't waiting for the best singer. They weren't waiting for the preachers to get there first. They were all the redeemed. They knew their portion, their place in the body. And they could come forth united. You ready for me to get to my notes? Let's sing this song. By the grace of God, if you ever need a prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you today. It's time to flutter these wings of faith, brother, sister. It's time to say, okay, God, it's time to take the devil on. He was a bluff in 1960. He was a bluff in 63. He was a bluff in 65. He's still a bluff today. If you're having a hard time, why are you having a hard time? God is here. Right? For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. And I heard about Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, what a wonderful hour. I'm glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am
show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar and pain. He could bring me out to His holy name. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. One more time. Thank God I am free. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Yes, Lord. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way.
Just sing that little song. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Amen. Amen. You need to be dismissed. You can be.
Oh yes, oh yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Now His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. One more time. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, oh praise God, praise God, oh praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.